Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. This 30-minute podcast features a new author interviewed by me every single day, 365 days a year, for about 30 minutes. I am also the publisher for Zibby Books, which publishes 12 books a year in fiction and memoir. Our books are already out now. And you can check it out on zibbybooks.com. And we have a magazine called Zibby Mag, where we have lots of wonderful essays and lifestyle features. That's at zibbymag.com. We have classes at zibbyclasses.com. And I recently opened a bookstore in LA called Zibby's Bookshop at 1113 Montana Avenue at 11th Street in Santa Monica. I hope that you are able to enjoy some of our other offerings, but this here podcast is the basis of all of it and started in 2018. And no matter what I do, this is basically my favorite thing. Enjoy. Chelsea Goodan is the author of Underestimated: The Wisdom and Power of Teenage Girls. Chelsea has been an academic tutor and mentor for 16 years, with a particular emphasis on the empowerment of teenage girls. I have one of these, and so this is particularly relevant. She regularly speaks to audiences about gender justice, conducts workshops, and coaches parents on how to better understand and connect with their daughters. She is the founder of the Activist Cartel and the membership director of Democracy, a nonprofit that guides teenage girls from historically underrepresented communities into leadership positions. As an activist, she advises public figures, galvanizes volunteers, and organizes large-scale events for national nonprofits while also serving on the board of A Call to Men, a nonprofit working to end gender-based violence. Her passion to explore humanity's potential for authenticity, liberation, and empowerment permeates all of her work. A graduate of NYU's Tisch School of the Arts, Chelsea lives in Los Angeles. Welcome, Chelsea. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Underestimated: The Wisdom and Power of Teenage Girls. Congrats.
Thanks.
And I'm so happy that Pamela Cannon gave this copy to me herself. I knew her and she was like, this is my first thing at Gallery. So I was like really excited.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. She's the best editor. Oh my goodness.
Okay. So first talk about what makes you the right person to write this book, because you explain that in the book, but just so that everybody knows, you know, why have you had such great access to this audience and have been able to glean so much and then write a book about it?
Right. So I have been an academic tutor for 16 years to teenage girls. And then years ago, I also started volunteering my time to mentor girls from underrepresented communities. And what happened is that I was invited into a very rare space of trust, of one-on-one time with girls, where it wasn't a parental vibe. It was this completely unique kind of relationship where they really opened up and shared all these things on their minds. And I realized how much I understood their voice and how I could be a microphone for them, almost like a portal for what they want to say to the world. And they felt like I was given a lot of trust to be that person to say those things. And so, as you know, in the book, I quote them so much. They were involved in every part of it. They chose the chapter titles. They gave notes on edits. You know, I wanted to make sure I was always honoring their voice and their truth throughout the entire process.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Well, you go through all sorts of different topics. You give handy dandy little bullet points at the end that we're supposed to take away from each chapter, which is always
I know. Exciting. I thought it would be perfect for your podcast in particular that moms don't have time to read books. So I'm exactly. Like, those bullet points are ready for you.
Well, it's funny because my teenage daughter is home from school this week. And so I was like, here, take this book. Tell me what you think. Did I underestimate you? And then at the end, we like played the whole game because you have all these wonderful questions. So we were sitting together in the car and I was like continuing to go through it. And I was like, okay, so I'm like, what did I say? Which ones did I give her? I'm like, do you feel like I listened to you enough? She was like, yes. I'm like, what social media accounts have been inspiring you lately? And she just like rolls her eyes.
Well, so you can't like kind of go hard and fast into these questions.
I know. That's not how you're supposed to. I know. These are like things you should keep in mind if you have like, if you want to have better communication with the teenage girl in your life. I know. I'm just like, but I just like went, I didn't do all of them, but I did like a rapid fire quiz. And she's like, Mom, I'm good. It's all good.
That's so funny. Well, so what I've learned though is when a mom and daughter reads it together, this has been happening a lot. They end up, because just the way the nature of a lot of the chapters, things like shame or sexuality, things that are harder to open up conversations around. I have seen a lot of cool communication happen between a mom and a daughter. But those questions at the end in the appendix are like a dynamic change, right? It's not like, go and question her.
I know. I was just like sort of playing. Actually, I'm glad you brought up the sexuality chapter because I found that one particularly interesting. And even when you were talking about your author photo, right? And with how much skin is okay to show on your author photo and how there was a girl that you that had posted something provocative or that was very revealing. And she was sort of like, I want to explore this side of myself. Like, what's the problem with that? You know, and like her mama was not happy about it. And you're like, right. What is the problem with that? Like, let's talk about this.
Yeah. So instead of approaching her, just shutting it down and fear, you know, there's that natural, understandable inclination to protect a girl, right? But what I've learned is that just she absorbs it as shame and judgment. Mm-hmm. And when you actually just seek to understand and actually ask, like, well, why do you want to post that? Why do you want to wear that? And really, get where she's coming from and help her feel heard and understood about it. Truly, genuine non-judgmental tone where your own personal triggers are deactivated. Then that's where so much healthy conversation happens in terms of her, yes, needing space to explore her sexuality and the expression of that, which can be very an uncomfortable thought for people. But instead, what we're doing is shutting it all down, repressing all of it, shame, judgment. And meanwhile, you know, boys within the media and stuff are very much permission to pursue a much more, you know, expansive, pleasurable type of frame on the conversation. Whereas girls are told that they are blamed for everything, that they are responsible for all boys' inclinations. It's on their shoulders to manage that. Like, they have a lot coming at them that's just unfair.
So true. When you were writing this, which chapters were you like, this is 100%, this is the most important thing. I have to put this in. This is a chapter on which one?
Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like this answer might change day to day.
Today. What's your answer today?
Yeah. My answer today is probably radical honesty. Mm-hmm. Because I think none of this happens unless you have a framework of being really real and honest, because teenage girls are so good at deciphering the truth. They can cut through it so fast, and they can tell even if you're just kind of putting on a show. You know, it doesn't have to be blatant lies. It can be these kind of half-truths and omissions and trying to put on a show of everything being fine. And girls just are starving for like real connection. And so I just call things out all the time with girls, and they trust it. It builds a certain level of trust where then they feel like they can be truthful because there's a non-judgmental space to speak the truth all the time. And then I take, you know, the second half of that chapter is how it's a tool for teenage girls. Speaking truth to power, I think, is one of their biggest weapons. I mean, if you look at Malala Yousafzai, right, all she did was just speak truth to power to a militant organization, and they shot her for it. And she was just a teenage girl, right? And I find this is actually quite common, not on like that large of a scale, but girls like these days, Gen Z in particular, like to, you know, push back and speak truth to power and say what their needs and wants are in an exciting new way. And the more we could empower and support and celebrate that, I think there could be a real spark for change.
So true. When you were talking about, you know, holding space for radical honesty, you also apply that to, you know, holding space for just emotions and sadness, and it's okay. And you referenced, and I'm sorry, you said you had lost a friend, and I wanted to ask you about that, and how one time you just like were having a breakdown, but your friends just let you have the moment to be sad, and it was enough for you to then, you know, pick up and like go on with the day. And how often as parents or caregivers or whatever, we're just trying to like make it better for our girls as opposed to just letting them feel it. So yes, tell me about that.
Yeah. And this is so, so common because of course it's really hard to see your daughter in pain. And you want, so the inclination is to come in and advise and fix, or, you know, slap positivity on it. And what I found is then she just feels really misunderstood, and just the walls go up, and that holding space for just being listening and being like, yeah, that sucks. Yeah, that is hard. I make sense why you feel that way. And it's specifically like displeasing feelings, right? Anger or frustration or disappointment. And girls aren't given a lot of space for that. And it carries into womanhood. I think, you know, women aren't supposed to be angry, right? We're going to be stereotyped in some direction. And by letting women and girls have a little more space for feelings, we can actually process them rather than stuffing down or pressing. I mean, that stuff comes out later in life, no matter what, right? And what if we got to process them in the moment instead, and help girls understand that these are normal human emotions, and that that's not something bad about her or something wrong with her.
Very true. I think most moms and parents or whatever, grandparents would want to know, you know, well, how do I get along with my teenage girl in my life, right? Like my teenage daughter, my teenage granddaughter, like what is there a secret? Like either I feel her pulling away, or I'm worried about her for the XYZ, or I don't know, the litany of things people could say. But like what do we not know that you know that can help our collective relationships with teenage girls?
Well, I wrote a whole book about it. Every single chapter dives into a different topic. I mean, gosh, if you're looking for like a real overall idea, I'm actually going to bring it back to girls feel judged mm-hmm. and shamed. Mm-hmm. And I think that so often our motivation to teach a girl, like trying to teach her what's best, or that protection comes off as she feels it as criticism and judgment. And rather than just meeting her where she's at and loving her exactly the way she is, because then there's also this other huge pressure for her to be perfect and likable. You know, girls don't have the same bandwidth as boys do to just make mistakes. And, you know, girls absorb a mistake as completely part of their identity. Whereas a boy, I see boys make mistakes and I'm like, whatever, you know, so yeah. They're boys. And so this space and room to explore, make mistakes, to explore their identity and who they are, and not having to kind of have it all figured out and be perfect and do all the right things. You know, there's so many shoulds coming at them, what they should look like, how they should act. And again, that feels like judgment that who they are is not good and right the way they are.
Do you feel like things have changed that much? Like I was reading this book and I'm like, I was a teenage girl. You know, it feels like yesterday, like certainly not a long time ago. You know, are girls today coming from a totally different place? Like, is it true when teenagers say like, mom, you just understand or whatever? Not that my kids would ever say that to me, but let's just pretend. You know, is that true? Are things
significantly different. Obviously, there's social media and like the world is different. But deep down, like, is it just sort of what we went through in a different set of circumstances? Do you know what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah, yeah. No, because I think that we have a lot to learn about our own humanity from teenage girls. A lot of the book is their wise thoughts on humanity and how we can all be more human and connect more deeply. And so I would say Gen Z is very exciting to me in how they are way more into conversations around mental health and psychology and wanting to make a difference in the world. Like, there's some really cool shifts that have happened with Gen Z that I love. But in terms of just the pressures on girls and women to, you know, that people-pleasing pressure and the self-doubt and the inner critic, like all of those habits are solid. And then, you know, my last chapter is power, and just the power structures around us are still so masculine in their domination and oppression and status and wealth and these kind of old stories that I see Gen Z girls are just so tired of and ready for a new type of world that they envision. So it's both and, right? It's both very new and the same old story.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, "This is so exciting." So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, "Well, what should I spend my 2 cents on?" Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
If you had a teenage girl, like, do you have?
I don't know, which is actually kind of how, you know, reason why I've been invited into these spaces. It's been an asset.
Right. Yeah. I loved when at some point something was happening and a mom was like, "Okay, Chelsea's going to handle this."
Right. The amount of times a parent has been like, "Chelsea will handle this."
Yeah. I know. I'm like, "I'm going to start calling you." No, I'm kidding. How would your parenting, now that you know all of this stuff, you know, what would you do? Like, what are you going to go into it like knowing? How often can we say, "I'm listening and I'm this," and, you know, like, what? I don't know. I mean, there's no good quick answer to this. But
so, you know what? It's also just allowing space for it not have it all figured out. You know, actually, I was just talking to somebody the other day where a parent was like, "Well, what if she says I don't know?" And I was kind of like, then just be like, "Okay." You know, just, okay, then we'll sit with that not knowing right now. And, you know, I trust that you're going to figure something out, and helping her have that space to check in with herself and develop self-trust herself rather than us having to have every solution. Right. So the I don't know is okay too. And actually, girls feel a lot of relief when we embrace that space.
And how did you like writing the book?
I mean, I loved it. Well, I did it in such partnership. So anytime I came across something, I was like, wait, what is this exactly? I would always like call up a girl and be like, well, what are your thoughts on this? So it was really fun to do it in that way, but it really poured out of me. It was really meant to be this whole process. I mean, it's been a wild ride. Just this week, Oprah's book club just recommended the book. Like Hello Sunshine recommended it. It's been wild lately.
Oh my gosh. And so how do you like take in that kind of praise and all of that? Like, do you run around, you jump up and down, or you just like head in your hands, like, oh my gosh, like, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm letting myself celebrate it and receive it because I talk about in the book too, there's like a false humility women are taught, right? Where they're like, oh, well, okay, well, we'll see, and we like downplay things and make ourselves small. And so I've actually been kind of stepping into my own voice and power, which is so ironic because that's what the book's about. But it's been so sweet because the girls are so excited to see this happening to the book, right? Like they all feel like, wait, what I have to say is important? Wait, aww, like this, people care about this topic, these topics, they care about what, my well-being in the world. And so that I'm making it, that's what matters most to me without a doubt. If they can feel more heard and more space to step into their power with this book, oh my gosh, so great. If I can help a conversation between a mother and daughter, oh my gosh, so great. So I'm really trying to like, that type of accolades from those big, big people, I think of like, oh my gosh, that means this is going to reach more people and hopefully have an even bigger and better ripple effect in the world.
What is your relationship like with your mom?
I thought I was going to get this question all the time and I have not. It's so funny. I feel like it's different now than it was when I was a teenager. And when I was a teenager, my mom really let me be really independent and very much empowered me to kind of be my own weird, quirky self. And that was a real asset. And you can read from the book too. My dad is the same way. He was really empowering. So I benefited from that type of self-trust they put in me. And I think that you can feel that in the book. That being said, I also think my mom in particular isn't very good at holding space for emotions. And so I very much had a lot of anxiety stuffing all my emotions and trying to be perfect in the world and make everything stable around me. And it wasn't until much later that I started understanding emotions. And even now, my mom doesn't hold a lot of space for emotions, and that's okay. That's who she is. And anytime that I say something, I say commentary about a mom's in this book, I say it with so much compassion because I feel like we're all victims of this same really difficult system that we're all navigating as women, and we're all doing the best we can. And I believe that for both my parents and my mom, especially.
Aw. Has she read the book?
She has not.
Oh my God.
I decided she wasn't going to read it until it was out. She had a real true hard copy. I know. It's so, no one's asked me that question either. That's so funny. Yeah, I had the only family representative who read it is, well, my husband and my sister-in-law. They're the only family that read it.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's amazing. I mean, I don't know. I guess I just don't, it doesn't bother me prying into somebody's personal family life.
No, it's great. It's fine. Well, it matters because, well, so much of the book is also about healing your own inner teenage girl.
Yeah.
Because that's actually what's in our control. As much as we wish we could control the kid, right? And even like with our worry, I talked about worrying being a perceived control. If I just worry about this, I'll think of everything and then she'll do this, At the end of the day, we can only control ourselves and our choices and our reactions. And so I don't mind getting personal because actually my own healing is very much informed the book.
Wow. So this is really just a therapeutic exercise for you. You can just come clean and tell everybody now. No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm a pretty, like, a radical honesty, right? Like,
no,
I'm a
I know.
Open person.
I'm so kidding. I'm just kidding. So what's next for Underestimated? Is this going to become like a lifestyle brand? Like, where are you going with this?
Oh my gosh. I know. I feel like there's like lots of things I can't even talk about.
Oh, okay.
No, I wish I could. But I don't know. I'm also just on the ride. Like, things are unfolding in really unexpected ways. And I'm not trying to control it, to tell you the truth. I'm trying to really listen to my own authentic values and be like, okay, that feels good. That feels right. Like, what serves the greatest good? I'm really trying to stay true to that.
Good luck.
Because I could be pulled in 8 million directions right now. That is for sure.
I just got emailed by somebody who was like, would you be interested in coming on a reality show where you like stay in a house with someone for 2 weeks? And I was like, oh my gosh. And my kids were like, do it.
That's so fun.
I know, but I'm like, of all the things, like you write a book and you just don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Or you just put yourself out there. So I'm excited to hear when your, you know, news dribbles come out and.
Thanks. Well, you've been so supportive. And I have an event at Zippy's Bookshop in LA. I love it. I'm going to do it with Emily Deschanel. It's going to be so awesome.
Amazing. Oh my gosh.
You got a shout out on KTLA yesterday. I was on KTLA and they shouted out Zippy's Bookshop.
Oh, yeah. I'll try to get the thing and we can post about it or something. Thank you. I can send
you the link. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm delighted you're doing that. And this is really going to help a lot of people. And I hope that the people who really should be reading this read this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the moms who maybe underestimate their kids and need the help.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, the amount of people who hear the title when I'm just at a random party or something and be like, wisdom, teenage girls? No, they're so stupid. I mean, people don't think well of teenage girls. And I mean, I know people like you and, you know, my kind of feminist world are all like, of course. Yeah, teenage girls. But like the general masses really love to be like, they're dramatic and crazy and emotional and just all these negative things.
I mean, you try pumping tons of hormones into your body, you know, and see how you do, public. I mean, it's crazy. That's a crazy time of life, which so much is changing physically, emotionally, hormonally. And yeah, it's emotional. So whatever. It is what it is. All right. What advice do you have for aspiring authors?
I always say I was told to write my book before I put it into a proposal and pitch and everything because I needed to know what was even inside me. What story was actually even there? And I think about it, if I had written the proposal first, I don't know if it would have matched what actually came out of me. Yeah. And it wasn't that I had to do every ounce of the entire book, but I needed to truly start writing and understand what story would come out of me very effortlessly versus trying to say a proposal and then make it mold and sculpt and try to fit that.
Mm-hmm. So write, don't wait for the proposal.
I guess, yeah. Oh, and then I have just a little trick. I love this trick because people always are like, ooh, when you're writing, you know, because it takes so much discipline, which is really the art form is discipline. Always finish your day's work at the end, you know, when you've decided you're ending your work for the day on something you know exactly what the next thing you're going to write. Like, you know exactly what it is, but don't write it. Yep. And leave there so that when you start the next day, it's just so easy to get right into it because you knew exactly what you wanted to write. So then you don't sit the next day being like, okay, where am I going next? Like that.
I feel like sometimes writing makes me fall asleep. I know this is like a ridiculous thing to say. And so I'm like, I just have to stop right here. So I think I've been like doing that in an unintentional way. I was like, oh my gosh, that's when I decided to take a nap. I don't know. Nothing else makes me fall asleep except writing fiction. So you never know. Anyway, congratulations. So exciting. I'm sorry I'll miss your event at the store, but delighted you're coming and congrats.
Yeah. Well, I think you're so amazing too. Thank you so much for everything you do to support authors and support books. And you just are just incredible powerhouse in this space. Thank you.
Aww, thank you for saying that. Thank you. All right. Well, enjoy the ride.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.